Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello and welcome to Creating Change. This is your host, Doug Foresta. And today we're going to talk about, as we are in the new year, I want to talk about not New Year's resolutions, which I know that is definitely a topic that many people are talking about right now. But what I want to discuss is actually self-acceptance and the idea of unconditional self-acceptance and the importance of it. And the irony or paradox that the more that we unconditionally accept ourselves for who we are, the more likely we are to actually be able to create change. So what I'm going to share with you today comes from actually the work of Albert Ellis and also Smart Recovery. So some of you might be familiar with, or probably most of you are familiar with AA or Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. And that is based on a 12-step program of recovery, which talks about overcoming your character defects and turning your life over to a higher power. There is, however, an alternative to AA and NA, which is Smart Recovery. And Smart Recovery is based on cognitive behavioral principles and is based on, as I said, the work of Dr. Albert Ellis, who founded Rational Emotive Therapy. And what Dr. Ellis was, he has since passed away, but what he was really interested in is this idea that we can refuse to make ourselves miserable. In fact, he had a book called How to Absolutely Positively Refuse to Make Yourself Miserable About Anything. And what he was interested in is the idea of how we can stop making ourselves miserable by having irrational thoughts. And one of those irrational thoughts that we have is the way in which we judge ourselves. And as we head into the new year, one of the things that we can set an intention for is this principle of unconditional self-acceptance. And I want to share with you some of this principle that, again, I want to give credit to Smart Recovery, and you can visit smartrecovery.org and you can take a look at, they have lots of great stuff there. So if you know someone who is struggling with any type of recovery, it's a really great resource, but also it's just a great way to live your life. And this idea that we can choose to accept ourselves even if we're not ready to make a change in our lives. So for example, let's say that you want to lose weight or eat less, right? Or exercise more. Well, there's a couple ways you can go about that. You can beat yourself up about the fact that you don't eat the way that you're supposed to. You can tell yourself that you failed miserably and here goes another year and you're back in the same place. Or you can accept yourself for who you are at this moment. And that your self-acceptance really comes from you. And think about this idea of self-worth. You know, where does your worth come from? And this actually, I also want to give credit to Margaret Paul from Margaret Paul. Dr. Margaret Paul has done a lot of work with inner bonding. She created inner bonding, and she talks about this as well. And this idea that our best feelings come from inside ourselves, that one of the big mistakes or the false beliefs that we get is that our self-worth is based on other people. And we get that from a very early age, right? We go to school and we get graded, and our parents, even our parents, you know, wanting to encourage us, say things like, I'm so proud of you, you did this, you did that. But what we learn is that our self-worth, right? People are proud of us based on our performance, based on what we've done. And the problem with that is, what if we stop doing well? You know, recently, it's funny, as the thing that really jumps out at me right now is, for those of you that follow mixed martial arts, Ronda Rousey was sort of the unstoppable force, you know, in the women's ultimate fighting championship. And she recently lost her second bout in a pretty terrible way. She was beat up pretty quickly. And all of a sudden, you know, people loved Ronda Rousey, and she was just the best thing in the world. And all of a sudden she got beat. Now she's, you know, people are creating all these memes about her, and they're being, you know, quite cruel to her. Well, let me ask you a question. Is Ronda Rousey worth less as a person because she lost her last two fights than she was worth before when she was winning? Right? And the answer is this. Well, you know, maybe as a fighter, maybe to promoters, right, that she's not worth as much. But we're talking about as a human being, right? Is Ronda Rousey worth less as a human being because she lost some fights? Is every sports figure who, by the way, all of us get older and our ability to, you know, our ability to perform athletically goes down, right? So for professional sports figures, so it, does that mean that every person in professional sports, you basically, you lose all your self-worth in your late 30s, certainly by your 40s, and because you're no longer able to perform? I mean, think about what that would say in terms of that false belief that my worth is based on what I can do. And I'll give you an example that I think makes it a little bit more, makes this a little bit clearer. If you were to go into a nursery and look at children, right, that were just born, you look at all these babies and you say to yourself, say, wow, look at these children, right? You look at a baby that's just born and you know, they're adorable. And if you looked at them and said, well, what can they do, right? What does that one do? What does that one do? And would you be able to pick out one of those children and go, well, that one's just worthless, right? It doesn't smile. It doesn't do anything, right? You wouldn't say that. You would say, well, every child has worth because every person has innate worth, right? But do you believe that about yourself? Do you believe that you have innate worth? Or are you in some level believing that your worth comes from what you do and that if you get rid of these bad habits and if you change this and if you change that, then you will be worth more? And if so, then I would argue that you are falling into what Albert Ellis, you know, would call an irrational belief. It's an irrational belief because where is the evidence that you are worth less as a human being, right? And David Burns in the book Feeling Good talks about this idea that, you know, he says that if you base your worth on achievements, right, then you fall into a pit of, you may fall into a pit of depression because only a few people achieve things that society deems to be outstanding, right? But yet every person has innate worth and every person has value and every person has the opportunity to live a happy, successful, and productive life. And even those people like Ronda Rousey who reach the pinnacle and the height of success as we deem it by society can't stay there forever. Very few people can stay at the pinnacle of success for their entire life. So does that mean that their worth goes down? That their worth is lost when they cannot sustain that level of fame or that level of performance? Of course not, right? And so the idea that, thinking about it this way, it's like, as David Byrne says, you can't increase or decrease your worth. Your worth comes from inside yourself. It comes from being a human being. And I think that we innately understand that when we look at other people, but we don't necessarily apply it to ourselves. We unconsciously tell ourselves, because society unconsciously tells us, that if we have more, if we do more, if we have whatever this New Year's resolution is, right? If you think about those New Year's resolutions, it's great to have New Year's resolutions. It's great to intend to make changes in our life, but don't confuse those changes with worth. You will not be worth more. If you lose 100 pounds, if that's what you have to lose, you will not be worth more when you lose 100 pounds than you were worth when you were weighing 100 pounds more. You may be healthier, you may feel better about yourself, but your worth as a person does not increase or decrease based on any external factor. And if you can really understand that, if you can really program that into your mind, I think it makes change paradoxically a bit easier, because what happens is if your self-worth is riding on the idea that if I lose weight, then I will be worthwhile, right? Then the problem with that is that it puts so much pressure on you to change, right? The pressure of I want to be worthwhile. And unfortunately, what happens is many people make changes in their life and they're not any happier because they have put this, they've put all their self-worth into this change. I had the opportunity to interview Damian Lichtenstein, who many years ago, and he has an organization called Discover the Gift. And one of the things that Damian was someone who was, you know, he said himself that he was striving to reach the top. You know, he wanted to reach the top, particularly in Hollywood and the film industry. And he started as a, you know, he felt unhappy within himself, and he started as a music director, and he directed a lot of the songs that if you listen to in the 80s from U2, With or Without You, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. He directed many of those U2 music videos. And he was doing that, and he still didn't feel happy. You know, he still felt like something was missing. So he told himself, well, maybe the problem is, you know, it's music videos, it's not film, right? Film director, being an A-list film director, that's really the top of the mountain. And so he went out and he became a film director, and he directed Hollywood films, and he still wasn't happy. And one of the things that he talks about in Discover the Gift is that what he found was that actually the gift is really the fact that we're alive at all. You know, what's amazing is the ability to be alive and to experience life. That's the gift. He didn't need all the other stuff. You know, he still says, I enjoy making Hollywood films, and he still makes Hollywood films. The difference is that he doesn't base his worth on those films. And if a film does well, he's happy. And if it doesn't do well, you know, obviously you want to do better next time. But he doesn't tell himself that his worth is based on the success of a film or his level of success in Hollywood. The other thing that Albert Ellis talks about, if you think about this, thinking about, you know, as we rate ourselves, and I think that when the new year comes, we sort of do that. We say, where am I? How much money am I making relative to other people? How good looking am I relative to other people? How am I doing in life? How attractive is my spouse? How good are my kids doing? What does my car look like? Whatever it is, right? Why is it a mistake? Albert Ellis talks about, why is it a mistake to rate yourself, to rate your worth to rate your worth at all based on anything? Well, the problem is that one of the things about rating your worth is that there's so many traits, right? If you were to say to yourself, am I a good person? Am I a bad person? Well, there are so many traits. There are so many deeds. There's so many things that you've done over your lifetime, right? How would you even begin to create a scale to rate all the things you've done in your life to decide whether you meet muster, right? If you gave yourself a scale of 0 to 100, 100 being the best you could ever be and 0 being the worst you could ever be, how would you even begin to do that? Would you'd write down everything you ever did? And then how would you even begin to create this? And when you really think about it, we are such a complex, we're such a complex mix of good and bad and everything in between, that how could you give yourself a rating that would capture all of who you are? Would be very, very difficult. And the other thing is that since everything that we're doing changes all the time, right, then your self-worth would be constantly changing. I'm good, I'm bad, I'm good, I'm bad, I'm mediocre, I'm in between, right? Because our external circumstances are always changing. They're always in flux. So therefore, our self-worth would constantly be in flux. And in fact, I know that that's how many people live their lives. And I'd encourage you to think about that. And certainly, you know, I've had this experience myself where you have a good day and you go, wow, I'm really doing well in life. Then you have a bad day and you go, oh my God, I'm doing terrible in life. And the reality is that our self-worth, just our worth in general, is not based on this. And in fact, you know, if you think about, for example, might seem like a silly example, but think about pets, you know, think about if you have a dog or a cat that you really care about, and forget about your children even. So we're not even talking about children, but your pets. So let's say you have a dog, right? Do you base your worth of your love of that dog based on, you know, well, you know, Johnny can, you know, he can run around the yard in so much time and he can fetch my paper in such amount of time. So he's worthwhile today, but tomorrow, if he doesn't do it, I won't love him as much. I would dare to say that you would, and I'm sure you do if you have a pet, you love your pet just because they exist, just because of their essence of love and because they are who they are, right? But we judge ourselves as human beings on a totally different scale. And again, the problem with that and where this leads to addiction as well is that when we decide that we are defective, when we decide, you know, one of the biggest things that people said to me when I was practicing therapy was, you know, deep down inside, I feel like there's something wrong with me. And what I'd often say to people is, what if what's wrong with you deep down inside is the belief that deep down inside, there's something wrong with you, right? What would life be like if there really wasn't anything wrong with you? There may be things that you want to change, but you don't have to make yourself miserable by basing your self-worth on those changes? And the other piece is, you know, what is the purpose of rating yourself? You know, what is the, what's the point in doing it? What is the ultimate, what is the ultimate goal, right? And the ultimate goal, it seems at times, seems to be to debilitate ourselves. Because at the end of the day, for the most part, when I teach and I tell students, write down 10 things that you want to change about yourself, it takes them about 2 seconds to do that. But if I said, write down 10 things you really love about yourself, people have a hard time doing that because we're much more critical of ourselves than we tend to be positive about ourselves. So we have this negativity bias as well about things that we do well or we don't, or that we want to change. I want to share with you a couple of things that Albert Ellis talks about in terms of these mindset shifts to help you to develop this unconditional self-acceptance. So one of them that Dr. Ellis talks about is this idea of must, right, and shoulds. Let's start with shoulds, actually. So a should is the idea, I should be skinnier, right? I should weigh less. Well, should you? Well, yeah, my doctor said I should, right? Says it right there on my BMI. It says that I should weigh 50 pounds less than what I weigh. So therefore, I am a bad person. Well, let's see if that's really true. First of all, should anyone do anything? The whole idea of should is irrational. And Dr. Ellis used to say, did you should on yourself? So it's irrational. Who says that you should do anything? Should anybody do anything? What would be a healthier way, right, of phrasing that to yourself? I would like to lose weight. I would like to be healthier. I would like to match up, you know, this, the BMI chart, by the way, is not the be-all end-all of life either. It's not necessarily the case that everyone who fits into the BMI is healthy and everyone who doesn't is not healthy. So the BMI chart is not everything in the world, right? And there is not necessarily one weight that everybody who is the same height should weigh. So when you start really breaking it down and say, well, what should I should lose weight. What if you told yourself, I would like to lose weight? It would be, I'd feel healthier if I lost weight. It would be easier for me to move if I lost weight. Those things are fine, right? But then that's not tied into your self-esteem, and it doesn't put the pressure on you of I should, because the only thing that should really accomplishes is that it makes you feel more shame, it makes you feel less than, and it puts this incredible pressure on you to make a change. And again, ironically, it actually makes you less likely to actually make that change. The other one is must, right? And must is definitely closely connected to should, but it's the idea that I must lose weight. Well, who says that you must lose weight? I must stop smoking, right? Well, Doug, are you saying that people should smoke? No, that's not what I'm saying, because again, what's the should, right? I must stop smoking. Must you? Must you stop smoking? Well, when I stop smoking, I'll be a better person. Again, you know, think about that. Instead of I must stop smoking, I would like to stop smoking. It would be healthier for me if I stopped smoking. It would probably have a lot of benefits in my life if I stopped smoking. But it's not the case that I must, right? I must be less judgmental. I must, whatever it is, whatever the change is that you want, you know, I must do this, I must do that. And the false belief is that when I change, when I go through this transformation, then I will be worthy, then I will be a good person. And unfortunately, what happens is what we find out when we do make, if we do succeed in making those changes, is that you don't really feel necessarily any better, because you've tied the change to your worth. And your worth cannot go up or down. Your worth is simply, it is. Your worth exists simply because you are and because you're a human being. And when we can really truly practice self-acceptance, if we can really do that, it makes it easier to change, because our change is no longer, or our worth or who we are is no longer connected to our self-esteem. And, you know, there's a wonderful in saying in Smart Recovery about, I am not my behavior, right? You may want to change your behavior, but you are not your behavior. Your behavior is something that maybe ebbs and flows over time, right? Your habits are things that can be changed, but you yourself cannot be changed. You know, close to that is this idea of self-esteem, right? And the idea of having good self-esteem. And what I'm talking about with self-acceptance is different than self-esteem. You know, self-esteem, unfortunately, so many times is again tied to some outcome or something or some behavior that we do in the world. You know, I'm good at sports, right? And again, to go back to the Ronda Rousey, it was really devastating. She said that she felt suicidal after she lost her fight to Holly Holm. She felt suicidal. And I think when you think about, well, why would someone feel suicidal after losing a fighting match? I mean, the bottom line is it's a fight. One person's going to lose. You know, it's a 50% chance. I mean, granted, their skill level, so it's not 50%, but you know, just from sheer luck, there is a good chance that one of you is definitely going to lose. There's a 100% chance that both of you are not going to win. So why become suicidal, right? I mean, there are many fighters who lose fights and then they come back and they win and then they lose and then they win, and you know, it's a career, and that's part of the fight game, you know, if you choose that life. But why was she so suicidal? And I think a big part of the reason is because she derived her self-esteem. She was deriving her self-esteem from, I am the champion. I am the best, right? And it's great to believe in yourself and have that kind of self-esteem. But the problem is that those things can change, you know? I'm the smartest person around. Well, what happens if somebody smarter comes along? And the reality is that there's always going to be someone smarter and stronger and faster and better. You know, where no one person can ever stay on top forever, right? You're the best in your school, then you go to another school and all of a sudden there's other people that are just as smart as you or even smarter. And now your self-esteem takes a hit. So tying your self-esteem in to the idea of being good at something, right? I'm good at this. I'm good at that. It sounds great. You know, discover your strengths. But the problem is that what happens when those strengths wane? You know, I've had clients who've had, for example, maybe they had a great memory, and all of a sudden they lost that ability to have a great memory because of a traumatic brain injury, or, you know, they were in a car accident or something happened. Well, now who are you, right? So it's great to identify your strengths. And I've talked about that certainly in other episodes. Identify and know your strengths. Do things that you love, right? Feel good about what you do. But the problem is that when you then have the false belief that my worth, my being is connected to that thing that I'm really good at, that's going to set you up to be miserable and to be unhappy, because all of us, our abilities will fade over time. We're not going to be able to maintain whatever level that we have. And the nice thing too is that it then frees us up, you know, because then you can make changes in your life, right? You can make changes in your life just because it's what you want to do. So if you stop rating yourself, if you stop comparing yourself to others, and you simply say to yourself, and I know this is easier said than done, and it takes practice to do this, to come back. It's like a meditative practice to come back to, I accept that my worth does not change no matter what. I'm worthwhile no matter what I choose to do. And now, what changes would I like to make in my life? Can you feel the difference and the ease that allows you, that you're starting from the point of I'm worthwhile? Now change becomes more about, what would I like to do? What would I prefer to do? What would be fun to do? And now you can make the change process a more joyful and light thing to do. And it really helps you then to, like I said, you know, that you have an anchor, that there are ups and downs in life. You know, I know for myself, I've gained weight, I've lost weight, I've had more money, I've had less money, and those things fluctuate. That's part of being a human being, right? And even in the change process, let's say in recovery, you may have times that you're doing better and times when you're doing worse, but who you are as a person remains and it's something that remains constant and cannot be determined by the circumstances of your life at this moment. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I want to remind you that if you are interested in sharing your voice with the world, reach out to me at dougforesta@gmail.com. I'd be happy to support you. If you have topics that you'd like to hear about, I'd be happy to address those as well in the future. And as always, I think this ties in perfectly to my tagline of today. As always, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. And no matter what, no matter what way you share those gifts and how perfectly or imperfectly you share those gifts, remember that you have worth just because of who you are. So have a great start to your 2017. And thank you so much for listening. This is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.